CMO Roundtable,
the podcast where we talk to CMOs and marketing professionals to find out what's working, what isn't, and how you can leverage their expertise to improve your marketing and conversions. Now, let's welcome our host, number one best-selling author and co-founder of Conversion Fanatics, Justin Christensen.
All right. Welcome, everybody. This is your host, Justin Christensen of CMO Roundtable. And today we've got an amazing guest. Our guest today is the Chief Marketing Officer for IDG, the leading global tech media data and marketing services company. He directs the worldwide corporate marketing organization and the company's go-to-market strategy to enhance the customer experience at all the different touch points. And as marketers, we know we got to have multiple different touch points in today's marketing landscape. He's also a member of IDG's executive team and is based out of New York City. So, Josh London, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me, Justin.
Yeah, thanks for being on. And I know we had a lot of back and forth and reschedules and all of this stuff. And I appreciate your patience on that. And I'm glad we're finally able to connect.
Likewise, it's my pleasure.
So tell me a little bit about IDG and what kind of goes on there and kind of your background into getting into the executive position that you're now in.
Yeah, sure. IDG is the world's largest technology media company. We operate in 147 countries worldwide, and our mission is to help our global audience make the smartest technology purchasing decisions. We serve the entire spectrum of tech buyers, from CIOs all the way to consumers, and we do this in three major areas. Media, so we have hundreds of websites, events, and outside of the U.S., print publications. Data, we have a really robust data offering, which I'll tell you more about, and marketing services. So helping our clients leverage our institutional knowledge and put that to work when they're looking at their marketing strategies.
Okay. Very cool. So how did you get into kind of what's your background that got you into, you know, obviously you're at the helm of a big marketing organization.
Yeah, you know, I've been very fortunate to work at a number of great organizations, many of them in either technology or media or both. And so in many ways, this was a natural fit for me. I've had marketing, product, strategy, and partnership positions, as well as sales and business development in many of our competitors. At both startups and established media organizations. And so it really has enabled me to bring all of that to bear for IDG. Additionally, I'm a literature major. And so one of the things that a lit major has to do is take dots and turn them into lines, find the common themes and put them to work. And that's exactly what we had to do in this role here.
Very cool. Very cool. So you did kind of a global relaunch this year into kind of more of a go-to-market. Can you explain a little bit more about that in terms of what happened there and why the shift?
I sure can. Yeah, IDG is 53 years old, and for 51 of those 53 years has been remarkably decentralized. We're a collection of really strong brands, but those brands all worked independently without any relationship to the whole. And one of the things that my team and I did was took that message of what makes each one of those brands and those subcultures unique and really revealed that culture to find what resonated most with our clients. And then we organized those. We moved from a house of brands to a branded house, if you will. We organized those in a global brand architecture that was one step in changing the way that we go to market, both from a selling perspective, from an editorial perspective, and of course, from a marketing perspective.
Nice. So you kind of broke it down. I did a little dig in and kind of in our pre-interview stuff. You really do this. Your marketing to date is really comprised of four phases, which is, you know, evaluate, launch, evolve, and expand. And I'd like to ask you more about, you know, kind of step three and four, if you will. So could you start a little bit about the evolve portion of it and kind of transforming how you go to market?
Sure. Well, look, whenever you have a major campaign, whether that's a global relaunch or just a new product launch, you create a plan and then you need to iterate. And so once we release that into the market, we watch very carefully to see what resonates with our salespeople, what resonates with our clients, what resonates with the media. And then we make some shifts as a result of that. And so one of the things that people really related to was the consistency across markets. One thing that is going on that we see with our clients all the time is they want fewer partners and they want a consistency of capability across regions and across countries. Mm-hmm. So, for example, they're looking to drive demand generation campaigns in EMEA, in APAC, and in the United States. And they're looking for a way to both buy and evaluate that uses fewer partners, but enables them to corner quickly. So when I talk about how we evolved our marketing message, one of the things that we did is we took that feedback from clients directly or through their activity that the data showed us, and we brought that back into our marketing materials, into our sales presentations, into our training, et cetera.
Yeah, I love that. Using the qualitative data to really drive out the quantitative. I really like that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, marketing, as you know, is really a blend of art and science. And so mm-hmm. that qualitative and quantitative mix is really important to figure out where your sweet spot is. And then, of course, once you dial that in and you've got that ember, that's what you want to pour gasoline on and really turn it into a major flame.
Yeah, I mean, so many companies only focused on the quantitative side. You know, what is my numbers telling me? You know, I put a dollar in and I get two out or something like that. And they're not really focused on what their audience and their market is actually telling them. So I'm glad you brought that up. So can you expand on it, with lack of pun there, on step four, you know, as far as extending the marketing resources globally and, you know, syncing that with, say, product development and strategy?
Absolutely. So one of the things that IDG has as a really unique advantage is the ability to see around the world, see trends earlier than a number of our competitors, because we're dealing with local, regional, and global realities. And, you know, as I mentioned, there's a secular shift to marketers wanting this consistency across the world. So when we launched a set of recent products, one called Pipeline Activator, which is a predictive technology, and the other one called Echo, which is a way to surround a target account list in your account-based marketing efforts, regardless of where they reside on the web, we were able to launch these overnight in 147 countries. And so we were able to take that message, test it in a couple of markets, and then expand it across the world literally overnight.
I bet that's pretty impressive to see firsthand.
It was a really cool thing to be a part of. You know, a lot of times when you're doing a product launch, you're sort of tiptoeing into one market or the other, and then, you know, seeing how it goes and expanding. But there haven't been a lot of times in my career where I've been able to light something up across the globe all at once. We did this on the face-to-face event side also. Last year, our first global event was called IDG Security Day. And we did a Follow the Sun campaign where we started in Australia and ended in the United States, and we're able to take something as universal as security, but then localize it to each of those markets for the challenges and the regulations that affect them individually.
Nice. That sounds great. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
It's even more important, you know, when you think about something as portable as data, it's even more important to have both that global sensibility, but also the know-how and the context of a local or regional regulation. So, for example, as you know, GDPR is going into effect May 2018. That's the General Data Protection regulation out of the EU that governs how personal data and privacy of EU citizens and their data are managed. But it really impacts anyone who's doing business with the EU. And that is any multinational company, obviously, but you know, any company of a certain size. And I think that's really going to be a wake-up call to marketers globally. They've been largely proficient at collecting a lot of this data. Some subset of that's been pretty good at gaining the insights from that data, but protecting it is a whole nother ball of wax. And so not only for media companies, but all of our clients, global marketers, this is going to be a real wake-up call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, data is, I mean, there's so many companies out there that data is their business.
Right, that's right.
You know, social media is data. Google and Facebook are both just data. So how are you changing the marketing at IDG to kind of roll into all of that, those changes, say, in the EU or, you know, that you're seeing globally? How are you adapting and shifting such a big ship so quickly?
Well, at IDG, the way that we approach GDPR, first of all, is systematic. I mean, we've got to get ahead of that. And I feel really fortunate to work with a number of great colleagues who are in charge of that area. And what they've done is understood all of the items of the GDPR checklist that a publisher or a media company or a marketer, for that matter, really needs to focus on, whether that is creating a steering committee, auditing all your lines of businesses to understand what data do you have, where is it stored, and how is it being used, what departments are using it, whether that's marketing or IT or sales, and how are they using it, informing your customers so that they can keep aware of what we're doing and see where we are on that journey. Appointing a data protection officer, reviewing privacy policies, making the board aware, and making sure that all of your external suppliers are compliant as well. So creating a clear roadmap for all of that and communicating that roadmap across the business is really a best practice that we're very proud to be a part of here.
Awesome. So how are you changing things to meet your client needs?
Well, you know, we are, yeah, in terms of marketing, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the way that we're changing things to meet our clients' needs from a marketing perspective is very closely tied to how we would answer that from a product perspective. The customer experience bar continues to rise. And so, you know, switching costs are very low. There's relatively, for the market, there's relatively little brand loyalty. And so you need to earn your customer in every interaction, not just in a sales and marketing one, from an interface, from a product, from a support point of view as well. Mm-hmm. One way that we do that, we're very fortunate to have great relationships with our customers who will give us direct feedback and tell us where we need to be in order to innovate for them. And so a lot of times we're able to prescribe that, but not always. And when we're not able to, we really value that feedback from our partners. And we use that to shape our product development as well as our marketing. So that, you know, when we think about that loyalty bar being set so high by industry leaders, as B2B marketers, we're looking to create the same experience for our customers. And one way that we do that is prioritizing the customer experience to cement our place in the minds of our customers.
I love that. Yeah. Customer experience is the number one thing. I mean, you have very short attention spans. You have very short, you know, life cycles typically of customers, especially in the B2B space. So you need to really capture and give them a good experience throughout. So I like that. So I shift gears just slightly here, but do you have any real big marketing wins that you've had in the last year that really jump out?
Well, it you know, we've had big marketing wins and we've had ones that are really meaningful that I wouldn't necessarily call you know, that I wouldn't count as big in the way I think you mean it. We have won a number of awards for our marketing efforts, both for customer experience, employee engagement, and for our overall campaign and its effect on the culture as a whole. And we're really proud of all of those and the coverage that we've gotten from Forbes, from the marketing trades, and from a number of other outlets. But the other wins that are really meaningful to me are two sides of the same coin, and that is from clients and from sales. So when we hear from clients that we've been able to simplify our messaging so that they can finally make sense of what IDG does, and as a result, take advantage of larger programs, and both from a dollar perspective and from a sophistication perspective and from a marketing perspective. And when we hear from sales that, you know, in the past, we would go to market with six or seven different ways of articulating the same issue, and now we have one way to say it, that simplification has really been very meaningful. So I'd like to count that as a win as well.
Yeah, streamlining the message is a big one.
You got it.
So do you have any biggest lessons that you've learned in the last year? Like, oh, I'm not going to do that again?
Yeah, I mean... Look, we've been really fortunate I've been fortunate to have learned one of those not going to do those again early on in my career, so we didn't have to do it here. And that is involving colleagues early, making sure that they're a part of the strategy and the message so that when we go to market, we're all brand advocates, not just marketing. Other organizations that I've been a part of, you'll sometimes see people throw it over the wall, so to speak, for marketing. And that's a real missed opportunity as far as I'm concerned, because it's not the ad campaign or the trade show or the awards that we're really aiming for. What we're aiming for is the cocktail party or the barbecue, because that's when that one-to-one interaction of your employee, their brand advocacy is going to come through, and their passion for where they work and what they represent is infectious.
Yeah, it's a big culture change.
Yeah.
Big culture driver. I like that you incorporate that throughout the entire company and in it falls back then on your marketing message too. I really like that. So I've really only got one official question left for you, and then we'll get into how to connect with you and all of that fun stuff. But what are your predictions for digital marketing in the next year?
Well, I think artificial intelligence is going to move from a buzzword to an enabler. I saw a pretty funny meme online where someone said, you know, if you spread AI sauce on it, it becomes investment. And, you know, I think that's the fatigue that a lot of us have with AI and machine learning. I think in the next year, we're really going to see that in the hands of an experienced marketer, AI will be a valuable shortcut, allowing them to maximize their efforts to drive growth. And it doesn't replace humans, but quite the opposite. It builds on our strengths and the strengths to consume huge data sets and put them to work. And so to make those inferences that we neither have time for nor necessarily the granularity of thought for, but in the hands of an experienced marketer can be a really great way to drive that incremental growth for their organization. And to do that, I mean, you have to get your data house in order, not just from a GDPR perspective, but you need to know what you're capturing and where the insights are coming from. Another prediction is about predictive technologies. The industry is still drowning in data, but we're really thirsting for insight that marketers can act on.
Yeah.
And predictive technology can serve as a great shortcut for that, to maximize your budgets by highlighting those best opportunities and, again, enabling you to pour gas on them so that, you know, you're not only able to put an account-based marketing strategy to work, but you're able to make your sales and marketing efforts sync up so that you're targeting only the prospects that matter most to you and are raising their hand, so to speak, that their digital body language is showing that they're ready to transact.
Nice. Very cool. So That's all I got today. This has been absolutely fantastic. I've actually got a page of notes here listening to you, things that I can even implement in my own B2B marketing and things I need to probably pay attention to on the client side too. But how can folks connect with you, or what's the best way to find out more information about you?
Sure. Well, you can reach me. The easiest way is to reach me on Twitter. I'm at Josh D. London. So that's at Josh D. London. Or visit IDG.com. And not only can you get to me that way, but you can get to all of IDG's offerings. One of the things that you'll see on that site is the videos that we do with other CMOs. So you can get their perspectives on what are the trends that are driving their businesses forward as part of our IDG CMO perspective series.
Nice. Yeah, I'll definitely check that out. And folks, all of that information is going to be below here in the show notes. So feel free to check that out. Go over to IDG.com and check out some amazing videos from some other CMOs. Be sure to get with Josh on Twitter if you have any follow-up questions for him. And that's all we got for today. Thank you very much, Josh, for being with us. And folks, if you like this episode, be sure to rate us, like us, share it out with all your friends so everybody else in your networks can experience what you've experienced here today in terms of marketing knowledge. And we'll talk to you again on another episode. Thanks, and make it a great day.
Thanks so much for listening to the CMO Roundtable. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate us, subscribe, and give us a share. For more information about how you can accelerate your marketing results and to request your in-depth conversion analysis, visit conversionfanatics.com.